We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in Warriors Huddle with me, Brandon. Joining me, per usual, my boy and producer, Scotty D.
Scott here.
It's been a while since we've done the Scotty D thing, man. Are you still used to it? Or?
Well, when Dunleavy was about to come to the Warriors, I was really fired up about it, but now it's kind of old news.
I'm burying the lead, even though I don't agree with the whole old news thing. Joining us for the first time, I am really excited to announce the director, creator, and head of TheAlmightyBaller.com and the founder of the Almighty Ballers podcast network, Mr. Chris Axman. What's going on, Chris?
Not much. So if Scott is Scotty D, does that mean I have to be Chrissy A? Because I think it doesn't really roll off the tongue as well.
It doesn't. You know, and Chrissy sounds a little bit softer than you are. So no, we'll try to avoid that. I mean, we'll see. We'll see if you actually say anything during the course of today's podcast that earns you a nickname. Let me start off by showing you just how deep my research skills go and wish you a happy birthday, big man.
Ah, thanks. I appreciate that. I'm actually sitting here in the underwear my girlfriend gave me for my birthday. So it's
weird because I'm also sitting here in just underwear. So I mean, we already have so much in common, Chris.
Was that just for my birthday? Well, actually, I mean, we should say the video's not on, people. So I mean, you're just gonna have to realize that we're not just looking at each other in our underwear.
I feel like this is going to turn into some weird Me Undies commercial or something.
They actually are Me Undies underwear.
I think it is my duty as this show's host to make sure we get away from the strangely homoerotic portion of the podcast. And you know what I got? What we're ultimately going to do today is do kind of a mid-season review of the Warriors. Warriors are 46 games in, certainly enough games for us to render some opinions, and obviously above the halfway mark. But before we get there, Chris, I want to ask a couple things about you, man. Let me start here. Where are you from?
I'm from Dallas, right. Texas.
And that makes, obviously, the Mavericks your favorite team?
Yeah, I'm sort of a fan of players and a fan of the game first. So I guess, you know, I'm one of those healthy Mavs fans. So when they're good, I'm ecstatic about it. When they're bad, I don't cry. And, you know, it's healthy. It's emotionally, you know, it's good, right? I don't have a Dirk tattoo on my body.
That's unfortunate. Let's test just how healthy you are on a scale of 1 to 100. How much do you hate DeAndre Jordan?
I just don't respect him very much. I don't hate him. I just think, you know, he's kind of a child. So I would say like a 5. I'm not the biggest fan, but it's not hate, you know. I just think he's, you know, manipulable.
How much do you love Harrison Barnes? You enjoying that?
Yeah, I'm really – I guess right now I'm sort of at like a 7.5. I mean, I'm pretty excited about it. I think he's like a really good – second or third option.
Yeah.
I'm not so high that I think he's going to be like the number one on a championship team, but we already know he can be the number 5 on a championship team, right, guys?
Max contract.
I just don't want to tell you how this movie ends, man, because I've been through the whole, my God, he's starting off so well. We can really rely on this guy. I mean, we'll revisit this topic in a couple of years, but here's a hint. It doesn't end well with Harrison Barnes. I'm bearing the lead yet again. I introduce you as the head and the creator of AlmightyBaller.com. Tell us about it. What is that website? Why'd you create it? What brought you to it?
Well, so AlmightyBaller.com, it's actually, I was bartending for a while and I thought of the idea and just went home and bought the domain name, and it sat around for a couple of months. And, you know, this was like 2 years ago. So I started out writing and sort of made an ancillary podcast, and no one was reading my articles, but people were listening to my podcasts. So it just sort of organically grew from there. I reached out to people. I really like people. So networking is just sort of something that comes naturally to me. And I've been happy to meet a lot of cool people like Scott and Bram over at the Warriors
sure.
Huddle.
Yeah. No, they're good people.
I'm sure if you've
heard
of them.
Good people. No, I really enjoy them.
I mean, it just sort of happened. And I'm glad it did. You know, I'm doing this full time now. I'm really optimistic about where it's going. I think podcasting is something that's right at this Malcolm Gladwell tipping point where it's sort of reaching a cusp before it takes off. And I just feel like, you know, we're basically Steve Jobs, guys. We're getting in on the bottom floor, but it's not the total bottom floor, but it is the bottom floor. So We're going to be billionaires is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I was about to say, I haven't seen a single cent from doing this yet. So Steve Jobs may be a little bit of an overshot, but I'm assuming it's coming, which leads me to the Almighty Ballers Podcast Network. Obviously, that's an offshoot of the website itself and a network that we're really proud to be a part of. You've already mentioned the importance of podcasting, so let me change the question. Are you already regretting bringing us on board, or do you think that'll come a little bit further down the line?
Well, I'm actually not even gonna answer this ironically. There's no other Warriors podcast I'd rather have on the network. And I love your show, and I love that you guys are a part of it, and I love your enthusiasm. And even if I wanted to joke and say, oh, you guys are the worst, I just can't do it. You guys are great. I'm really happy to have you on the network.
And for the audience at home, what I should have added is that we've sent him, I mean, maybe 50,000 pain in the ass requests. So at some point, that'll probably flip. But your comments, your compliments, they all mean the world to us, man. Let's jump to this Warriors midseason preview. And here's what I really like about it and what I really appreciate you joining us. We've got kind of the perfect panel for this. You know, that I am obviously the homer. I'm going to be driven by loyalty. And maybe my takes will be on the money. Maybe they'll be more suited to just, you know, talking up the Warriors. Scotty is not like that. Anyone who listens knows he's a little bit more logically based. Definitely a Warriors fan, but also roots for like 8 other teams. So God really knows where he lays. And then you are, outsider's the wrong word, but you are the Warriors insider, or I'm sorry, the NBA insider covers a series of other teams. So I imagine your takes aren't going to be led by loyalty at all. So I like kind of the dynamic we got going on. Here's my first question. So far, 46 games in, who has been the most valuable Warrior? Why don't you lead us off, Chris?
I think we all know JaVale McGee. No, it's Kevin Durant, right? I mean, most valuable Warrior this season, I still think down the line it's going to be Steph Curry. I hope that's not one of your questions because I just answered it. But, I mean, this season he has definitely been the best offensive player, and I think he might be the best defensive player this year. Which is saying something because you guys have a 2-time MVP and 2-time second in defensive player of the year. So, I mean, that's stunning, right? It's absurd. He's having a historically good season once you know, there's of course the efficiency stats, you know, he is crazy off the charts there, but then you realize that he's also this amazing defender and it just sort of, it's like mind boggling.
Right. I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is an easy one, which is why I started off. I expected what we're seeing as far as offense, although not this type of efficiency. He's scoring like 50 points a game on 3 shots or something ridiculous. So he's exceeded my expectations on that line. I didn't really know what to expect on the defensive end. We came into the year super worried about rim protection. And at least as far as off-ball protection, he is, you know, filling that in spades. So I don't think there's any question he's our most valuable Warrior. And I'll add, after we talked to Coach Brown last week, I like watching this guy so much more. I feel like I kind of know him a little bit. And I like this idea that he was faking injuries to allow his teammates to play. If you were going to handpick one personality trait that this guy needed to fit in to an already established juggernaut, it's that. It's, you know, I am just as much about my boys, my teammates contributing as I am about me. And so, I mean, he's just fitting in seamlessly.
Yeah, I mean, the most underrated skill, I think, of any team is chemistry. It's not, it's kind of intangible, so it's hard to really see it in the stat sheet or whatnot. But that's what I was most worried about adding Durant. But he has come in and he has shown that he can absolutely gel with these guys flawlessly.
And he's trying to. He's got, I mean, he and Ian Clark have a very obvious relationship, right? He's got what seems to be a special handshake with at least 4 or 5 members of this team. And this is his first year halfway through. This isn't someone who's trying to surf on top. This isn't someone who's just trying to be an extra. This is someone who really wanted to be a part of the Warriors culture, has done exactly that, and has been, you know, contributing in spades. So I don't think there's any. Do you agree he's the most valuable?
I don't agree, actually, though, because I think Draymond Green is still, to me, the most valuable piece of this Warriors team. I think that he may not be the person I would pick if I was starting a team, but if you look at this Warriors squad and you take away Durant for a series of time, if you take away Steph for a series of time, if you take away Klay for a series of time during the season, I think the Warriors are going to be fine, and it comes back to the fact that they still have Draymond Green. And if you took Draymond away for extended periods, I think this Warriors team suffers a lot.
Chris, do you like how this fool made it seem like he was agreeing with us? Like, gave us a couple of head fakes. Like, oh, no, it's Kevin Durant. Oh, Draymond Green. I'll let you respond, man. He's calling you wrong, Chris. Why is it not Draymond Green?
Well, so, Scott, I get where you're going with that. I just think that Kevin Durant stepped in, and especially because of the particular way that they've started to use Zaza, the team's main help defender at this point isn't Draymond. I mean, Draymond covers the biggest threat defensively, but Kevin Durant is the guy who you're worried about is going to soar in and get the block if you're headed to the basket, regardless of, you know, who's on you personally as a defender. So I think team defense is a bigger deal than on-ball defense, generally speaking. And Kevin Durant is the straw that stirs the drink for this year. Although Draymond can do it, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's basically, you know, an arachnid out there with these freaky long arms. And I mean, Draymond can do it, right? But Kevin Durant has been doing it because he's even better, which is, again, mind-boggling.
But Draymond is the guy who's heading the ship. He is the one organizing the fact that Kevin Durant is about to go into that help side defensive position, because Draymond is the one communicating with the entire squad in a way that Bogut used to do, and now Draymond's filling that role.
I would love to hear, and we never will, we'll never get this information, but I would love to hear what Kevin Durant took away when Draymond screamed at him. Because if that lecture played any role in helping Durant figure out where he fits in with this hierarchy, that he shouldn't be waving off Steph, right? Or like, whatever it was, what other communications are happening. Because if Draymond is in fact being the voice of reason off the floor in addition to what he's doing on it, then there you go. You know, I think that's the intangible that would push this thing over the edge and make him my MVP. We'll never know that, right? So just seeing what's on the floor, numbers suggest it's KD, but I see where the hell you guys are coming from. Here's my next one.
Can I say one more thing in response
sure.
to that?
I mean, I can't stop you. Scotty will probably cut it, you know, but it's up to you, man. Go ahead, fire it off.
It's sort of a hot take, and I think you guys will at least think it's interesting. So I guess my response to the idea that Draymond is the emotional heart and soul of the team, isn't that maybe a little bit damning? I mean, talent-wise, this team should have won last year in the finals, and they should have won on Christmas Day, and basically all of these clutch situations they should have won, and I feel like basically their only weakness, and LeBron has basically said as much, is perhaps their emotional toughness, their consistency under pressure, their and Draymond, it's sort of embodied by Draymond, you know, kicking LeBron or, you know, getting suspended for that game 5. I mean, the Warriors' biggest weakness is sort of their humanity, and Draymond is very, very human. So, you know, in that regard, I'm not, you know, I would almost rather him be like LeBron and be like an automaton.
Right when I thought I was out, you dragged me back in. I definitely disagree with what you're saying. One, I don't think that they needed to or should have won the Christmas game. The 3-1 collapse did. That was frustrating. But you're making it seem like right after or right before Draymond got kicked out for game 5, he pulled a gun on LeBron. And everybody knew he should have been kicked out. When the actual play happened, nobody had that perception. Not one person, including the refs actually on the floor. It took LeBron to step outside of any kind of normal role, get the league's attention, have them look back on it, and then decide his action was way over the top, and then had him thrown out. So I don't know if it's fair to say it was his emotion that ultimately led to their ruin. And I'll give you another side to this, and then, you know, we definitely do have to move on. But watching this team be a bunch of bitches for 35 years, man. We literally had no bullies. We had nobody who had any spine. We had nobody who had the kind of angry emotion that Draymond occasionally brings. One of the biggest changes under Lacob, one of the main reasons these guys have reached these heights, isn't just the offensive firepower that we see with KD and certainly that we see with Steph. It's the change in personality that Draymond has brought. And we needed that more than anything. So I don't think that should be used as a way to undermine him, but I see where you're coming from. Now I really am going to move on. And here's the next question for you. What player has done more for the Warriors than expected? What do you guys think? Scotty, why don't you give us this one?
I think JaVale McGee, actually, because this was a guy who was barely even made the roster, was a big question mark. And here he is coming into games and getting the team excited. They love playing with him. They love throwing the lob. And he's adding a level of athleticism that we've never had. So I think as far as if you just looked at where expectations were, you got to put JaVale up there.
Did JaVale ever play for Dallas, man? Remind me.
Yeah, he did. Actually,
so how does this movie end? I know how the Harrison Barnes movie ends. How does the JaVale McGee thing ultimately go?
I mean, I can't really tell you because we never played on that caliber of stage, right?
Yeah.
I mean, his problem isn't against bad teams or even good teams. His on-court problem is against the elite of the elite because, you know, mentally he's just not quite there. But he's such an incredible athlete that really he can stay on the court against – very good teams, but sure. Once you get past very good, that's the problem, and like the Mavs were never there, so
yeah, fair enough. From the outside perspective, who has played above what you were assuming they would do?
Well, so I think going into the season I'd have to say Klay Thompson, but I think the better answer to this is that, I mean, 2 weeks into the season I was already, you know, oh God, what are the Warriors going to do? We need to get rid of Zaza.
Yeah.
Like, someone else needs to be center. So, I mean, at the start of the season, it wasn't Zaza, but I responded really dramatically to Zaza looking, I mean, honestly, really bad at the start of the season. And I think he's rounded into form. They've learned how to use him better. And I am no longer concerned about him playing 20 minutes a game in the playoffs.
You'll notice I'm going third on each one of these. That's not on accident. I've always found with three people, there's kind of a rule of three, right? Two people are going to gang up against a third. So I like cherry picking. So either way, here I got an ally. In this instance, I agree with you, Chris. For the first, like, I don't know, month of the season, all of my focus on Zaza is the things that he couldn't do. Why he wasn't Bogut, you know, and why he wasn't quarterback in the defense, why he wasn't that kind of enforcer inside. Somewhere along the line, certainly now, that's changed. I'm not looking at the things he can't do. I'm looking at the things he can. He gets to the free throw line, not like Bogut. Those are good. I'm not worried about it. When he goes down on the floor, not like Bogut. He's getting back up. You know, like this guy isn't getting hurt. This guy is going to be there for us when we need him. And he's shown a competency and basketball intelligence over the last month that, you know, I still miss Bogut and was a great player, but he is a much larger addition than I gave him credit for. So I'm with you on this one, man. I also like that he's fighting with Russell Westbrook. We don't have the time to go all the way through that now, but I like that he fouled him on purpose. I like that he looked down on him, and I like that he didn't back off when Russell Westbrook took the media. You know, that's exactly what we need from that position, and it's exactly what he delivered.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, people say positional defense as if everyone understands what you're saying, but that can mean a few things. But Zaza, when you say he's really good at positional defense, what it means is when he's playing the pick and roll before, he would drop back, sort of play like Bogut did, and he's just not an intimidator. If you're taking a shot at the rim, you're not really all that concerned about Zaza, you know, blocking you or humiliating you or busting your chops or whatever the case may be. But if he plays up on pick and rolls, he puts his body in a way, and he's a big boy. He puts his body in a position sort of at an angle where he's going to force the guy who's driving, the ball handler or the center, into the most difficult shot just by nature of you need to go around me. So,
right.
And that also might be, you know, I'm going to put my body in such a way that you're going to go right because I know that Kevin Durant is going to help on the right side. That's a talent. You know, I think JaVale McGee is clearly the better athlete, but he doesn't know how to do stuff like that. So, in that regard, I think their defense has a much higher ceiling with him than Andrew Bogut, which is not something I expected.
If I'm being honest, I use the phrase positional defense or off-ball defense because I think it makes me sound like an insider, and I've heard it on ESPN. I'm not really entirely sure what it means, but I will fire it off left and right. You know, I mean, and I felt like I used it right in this last context, right? I mean, I pulled it off.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But, I mean, did I explain that well enough for you to
understand? You did. No, I got it. No, I got it now, which is why I had to admit to you I didn't understand it before. You know, I realized I was dealing with somebody who actually could use these phrases competently. So I figured I'd come and, you know, be totally forthcoming with you, man.
You're welcome.
Let's cover a slightly less rosy topic. After 46 games, what concerns you guys about the Warriors' title chances? And I haven't gone first. I'll go first on this one. I've spent all year talking about continuity being the key to this Warriors team. I don't think they need to add anybody. I think they got the talent. I'm just worried about how they play with one another and the idea that they got to play with each other a lot before they figure that out. What we're not seeing, so they're going to get the chance to play with one another. What they're not going to get the chance to do, and this speaks to their talent, is work enough on tense, tight, late game scenarios. We've seen two of them so far, right? Maybe more than that, maybe up to four. But I am worried that they're going to get a place in the playoffs, somewhere deep, Western Conference Finals, something. There's going to be 30 seconds left in a must-win game, down whatever it is, down two, down three, and they don't have that entirely worked out. If you came and put a gun to my face and said, the Warriors need a bucket, and there's only 10 seconds left, who is Steve Kerr going to give it to? I couldn't give you a definitive answer, and I don't think they have one yet. That concerns me. If there's anything out there, it's that they're not going to get to exercise those in particular demons.
Well, I think one thing to maybe alleviate some of your concerns is they are starting to get more close game situations, and I think they're really starting to figure it out. Now, that while that Miami game ended up being a loss, what's going unnoticed is the play right before the Waiters three was an end of game situation, yeah, where they set it up for Durant. He got a dunk off of it. I mean, it was a great play. It was so great that it happened too quickly and Waiters had enough time. So I'm not too concerned with the trajectory. And I think by the end of the year, they're going to be in pretty good shape when it comes to late game situations.
Right when I thought I couldn't hate Deion Waiters more, he hits a three-pointer. Then right when I thought I couldn't hate him even more than that, he crosses his arms hell of cockily. And then right when I thought I couldn't hate him more than that, he fires off a one-eyed wink to KD. It's like that entire sequence, ugh. But we don't have to go through that. Chris, what do you think, man? What sticks out to you as reasons the Warriors may not walk away with the title?
I think boiled down to its simplest form, Kevin Durant does not set good picks.
Huh. Explain that. Expound on that.
I mean, the first thing that popped into my mind when Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors, I mean, literally day one in the morning, I'm thinking about, okay, what are the ramifications of this? I was like, what happens if Kevin Durant sets a screen for Steph Curry at the top of the three-point line? Defensively, that is a complete nightmare, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, both of those players can get a shot off with just a little bit of separation. And if you can set even a halfway decent pick, that's what you get. It's a little bit of separation. And plus, it's such a simple action with such a good result, right? Such a high degree of success. You know, but you don't need to, you know, do any behind the back passes, you know.
Sure.
You don't have to worry about that going out of bounds. You don't have to, you know, have this beautiful game type stuff. If you want your very last play of the game, the thing that makes the most sense is a high pick and roll with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. But Kevin Durant sets really bad picks, and that means that, you know, you have to go back to ISO situations.
Sure.
And if Steph Curry isn't the player that he was off the dribble, then that's bad, because Steph Curry last year off of ISO pull-up shots was the best player I have ever seen in a profound way. I started to be genuinely stunned when he missed shots that I would never expect anyone to take. That hasn't happened this season. And so then the question is, okay, do you want Kevin Durant taking those shots? Probably not. Do you want Draymond? Also probably not. I mean, Klay Thompson might be honestly your best late game option, which, I mean, yeah.
Do you think that Kevin Durant can learn how to set good picks? Because I agree, he's not doing a very good job right now. But I also think Kerr is sort of hiding that option a bit too, and they're not doing it too frequently because they don't want to show those cards yet.
Keep it off tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you think Kevin Durant can learn to be a good screener?
That was my impression. And that's what I was saying, you know, 20 games into the season. But they've done it enough at this point, and it's been such a rousing failure. It's got like 35% effective field goal percentage. Sure. That I'm genuinely concerned.
You know, it's interesting. This fits into kind of the idea, and this, I'm not qualified to say it, but that's never stopped me before. One of the things we've always said about Russell Westbrook is that, it, you know, when he was playing there, it was my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn. The pick and roll option you're talking about is kind of a dynamic play. It's something that involves both people, right? It kind of makes sense that Durant would not have developed that while he was in OKC if he wasn't playing with the kind of guy where they could take advantage of it, yeah?
Yeah, 100%, right? Because that same sort of idea applies, where if you could really synergize Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant so that, you know, they're sort of, you know, like those twins in that old cartoon where they put their rings together and turn into water or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Like if they had the ability to do that back on the Thunder, you know, I mean, it would have been a different story. And Kevin Durant hasn't shown that propensity quite yet. And I just, you know, I'm a big fan of the beautiful game thing. I really like it for minutes 1 through 46. But in the last 2 minutes, I don't want Zaza to ever touch the ball. I don't want anyone who isn't honestly like Steph Curry to touch the ball. Because last year, I mean, that's what you wanted, right? And people now are like, I remember that Memphis game, right? That's the first one that comes to mind when Kevin Durant took that pull-up shot over Zach Randolph. That should have been a good shot, but it wasn't. And that I've seen that too much. So I just feel like they don't – if that's not a thing – then it doesn't seem like a poison pill. And that's a little bit worrisome to me.
No, I understand that. And you've actually, I was going to ask this anyways, and you alluded to it, and it's a great transition. You and I argued about this on your show, but we can rehash a little bit of it now, and then we got to get Scotty D's take. But is Steph Curry in 2017 the same player he was in 2016? Scotty, what do you think?
He's not the same, but it's only because the team's not the same. Things are different this year, so I don't know why people would expect them to be the exact same. And look at that Miami team when the big three joined up in Miami. It took them so long to get things worked out, and already the Warriors are so far past where Miami was. Warriors have the best record in the league right now. Yeah. So whether or not, you know, Steph is as good as last year, I mean, he's still damn good, and I'm not really that concerned.
What do you so, Chris? If memory serves, you had a great analogy, which you were saying, much like Tiger Woods, if you alter one portion of an excellent shooter's body, if he has anything that is not 100%, it screws up the whole stroke. And you were positing, thinking maybe the knee injury and the stuff that Steph went through last year in the playoffs may have affected him. Since our last pod, he's been playing pretty well. You know, I mean, he's been scoring, maybe not at the clip he did as a unanimous MVP, but certainly as an elite point guard. What do you think, man? Do you still think this guy's damaged goods? I mean, what's your take on this year's Steph Curry?
I think he's still not quite there. And, you know, I've heard a little bit too often for me to be comfortable with just utter confidence in saying, well, you know, I mean, that season last year was so incredible. He couldn't possibly get to that level again. And I'm uncomfortable with the degree of confidence that people are saying that. Look, they might be right. It was an incredible season. He might never get there again. But it's my impression, looking at him, he is on a steady upward trajectory. And I would expect him to get up to that level one more time and, you know, then probably start to deteriorate because of age. I mean, unless like there's a massive injury or something like that, the question becomes, is he going to be that caliber of player come playoff time? If not, you know, I genuinely expect him to be that next year. So, you know, hopefully they bring the gang back together.
There you go. All right. So it's not necessarily an injury-based thing. Yeah, I mean, my response to that would be no one has ever had a season like he did, ever, let alone twice. There's never been a unanimous MVP in the history of the game. Doesn't matter who you bring up. Any star ever from any era never did what he did. So to use that as our baseline to figure out whether or not this guy reaches up to it, I think is unfair. If I got super lucky, took 1,000 free throws and hit all 1,000, and then I come the next time and I only hit 999, you're going to say, well, Jesus, your game's gone down because you didn't hit before. I got lucky before. There's no way I can do it again. But just to clarify then, for you, do you think there's any lingering, just watching from the outside? Because again, man, like my takes are fueled by fandom. You know, you're not limited by that same stuff. From what you can tell, is this guy healthy and is just being held, not held back, but is assimilating into a star-laden system?
So I think this metaphor communicates what I'm trying to say. Right up to that knee injury, he was a snowball that had been traveling down the hill for a really long time.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, shooters shoot, right? And he was just getting progressively better and even more accurate and even more cocky. And I mean, he's like a rhythm shooter in this profound way where he practices and shoots so much that his rhythm isn't on a, you know, oh, I'm catching fire in this individual game. He caught fire over the course of an entire season. So I think, you know, his snowball was really, really far down the mountain, farther down the mountain than anyone in history, right? His momentum as a shooter was just massive. And then it hit this wall and exploded. So he had to start at the top of the mountain again. Right now, I think he's halfway, you know, halfway down.
I like that.
Probably two-thirds of the way down. He's getting really close to where he was at that point where he was just unconscious.
Sure.
And, you know, as much as I agree that it was a historic season, there's no reason why he can't hit 55% from three instead of 50. There's no reason why he can't hit 95% from the free throw line instead of 90.
Yeah.
You know, he's already had two back-to-back seasons where people were like, this isn't possible. This is not going to happen. This is completely unprecedented. I refuse to agree that this can be a thing. And then he did it, and then he did it again. And I think he's going to – I think that there's a good possibility that he'll do it again, and people are going to eat their words yet again.
I love that, and I really like that analogy, actually. All right, next question up. Let me start easy. Really, when it comes to championship opposition, are you guys worried about anybody but Cleveland, or is this a two-team league?
I mean, what about Philadelphia?
Okay. Yeah, well, Philly aside, you know, and Embiid's amazing progress. I mean, San Antonio is always there. I mean, all the things we got to say about Pop and you know, how hard it is to get through the playoffs without injuries. But push comes to shove. As we sit here right now, I mean, I'll say it. Cleveland's the team I'm worried about. There's nobody else. Is that true for you guys?
I actually am worried about San Antonio because, you know, the last time they faced them in the playoffs a couple years ago, they lost. They haven't been seeing San Antonio in the playoffs, and so I haven't seen a Greg Popovich playoff version, you know, in a long time. And the last time I did, they lost. So the Warriors lost. So it's definitely a big concern.
More so than Cleveland?
Yeah, I do. I'm really not worried about Cleveland because they're just not that good. I mean, they should never have won last year, and I don't think that same type of circumstances is going to happen again. So yeah, no, I'm not.
This is the kind of insider's insights you got when you signed us up, buddy. You can go ahead and quote Scotty D, Cleveland just is not that good. What do you think, Chris? You agree with Scott? Is San Antonio the real rival here?
No.
I love the vocal inflection on that enough. That was amazing. I really hope you rolled your eyes as you said no too. We'll never know.
I'm going to consider that was an actual, you really, you know, thought about my response there.
He did, and he thought wrong. Go ahead, explain why not. Well,
I wanted you to know that I gave careful consideration to it and then decided that you're profoundly wrong.
Fantastic. Explain why.
So, I mean, Greg Popovich has talked for 3 years now about how befuddled he is about the Warriors, and it's like, you know, sure, maybe that's all sound and fury signifying nothing, and he's actually trying to, you know, sneak one by the Warriors, and he actually has this super game plan to kill them and destroy them, and, you know, he's just going to be laughing over their dead, slaughtered body, you know, in the second round of the playoffs. That's not what we've seen so far. I mean, the Warriors beat them the vast majority of the time, except for in a game that they had never played together with their new construction, the first game of the season, their first game with Kevin Durant. They won that game, and otherwise they just don't look like they can compete. I mean, they're a little too old. They stylistically don't work. I talked about with Bram that I'm concerned about this statistical there's a chance that the Rockets just get uber hot for four games and score 150. And beat you guys 150 to 140. I don't think they can stop you defensively, but I think that they can get that hot. I don't think that it will happen, though. And on the Cleveland thing, I mean, LeBron has an extra gear. I mean, that's the thing, right, is that, you know, last year LeBron was the best rim protector in the league for seven games and also the best distributor and also the best scorer.
Right.
So you're right. Like, the Cavaliers, regular season Cavaliers, are not anywhere near the Warriors. I just think LeBron has a gear that he just is not tapping into. And if you underestimate that, you are going to lose again in the finals.
And now LeBron is the oldest person playing in the All-Star game. So I think that's going to really start to catch up to him finally.
He's also the biggest whiner in the league. I got all these quotes about how his team is not spending enough money and all this other stuff. But that's a rabbit hole we'll have to save because Scott's going to punch us both in the face if we go too much longer here. So with that in mind, Chris, let me give you kind of an overarching question. give us your final four, the Western Conference, Eastern Conference, then give me your championship teams, and then give me your champ. What's your guess?
Well, so my champ is the Warriors. I'm a
really
little...
like you, Chris. I'm not sure I said that already, man, but you clearly know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, you know, you look at the talent, and it's just, you know, LeBron, you know, you said that he's been whining. The big thing that he's been whining about is that we need another playmaker. What he said recently is the roster, unless we make a move, our roster, the Cavs, is not as good as the Warriors. And that's true. It was also true last year and the year before. And for this entirety of this Warriors era, I'm a little bit concerned about that feeling that you just communicated. It's like, oh, LeBron's going to drop off. He's too old. Because if the Warriors are thinking that way, they're going to get killed. That's what killed him last year. You need to take LeBron seriously. I think he's the best player who's ever played. So I'm a little concerned to hear that, because if that's the way that the Warriors are thinking, I think they're going to lose in the finals again. Now I think they know how amazing LeBron is, because he just killed them, you know, in the finals last year. So,
best players ever played. Did you start watching basketball like in the 2000s?
It's actually sort of a syntactical thing. And I mean, this argument is sort of pointless, but in some ways, I don't know. We shouldn't get into this.
Whatever you're going to say is right, because you use the phrase syntactical. I'm telling you right now, like however you back this up, you've already got my vote. Go ahead. The Rockets.
I was an English major, so.
I can tell. Holy shit. That was really nicely played.
So I think in the Western Conference, it's probably going to be Spurs Warriors. I take Warriors in five. In the Eastern Conference, I would expect it to be Raptors and Cavs, but I think that there's some real moves that both the Celtics and the Raptors could make that I would pick them to get to the finals, because I think the Cavs are a little bit shaky right now, and I think there's a real possibility that someone could sneak in and take it from the Cavs, and you know, I mean, if Jimmy Butler ends up on the Celtics, or if Boogie or something like that, Hassan Whiteside ends up on the Celtics.
So give us a definitive guess. Who do you think? Who's going to be there?
I'm going to expect that not to happen and assume that the Cavs win in six, and then, you know, it'll be Cavs Warriors, and I'll pick Warriors and Warriors in seven.
That makes me remarkably happy. I completely agree with you. And I think the Warriors will get out in six, but as long as they win a championship, I don't care when the hell it happens. Chris, where can we find you, man? I've already mentioned the website. I am sure, after listening to this, people wouldn't mind hearing a lot more takes from you. If they would want more Axemen in their life, where should they turn?
Well, they should go to almightyballer.com and blogtalkradio.com/ABPN. That's the two main places that we've set up our little network. Those are the two planets that we've stuck our flag in and claimed in the name of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. You can find my show, The Warriors Huddle. If you want to listen to Cavs, the podcast, and chuckle at how they think they have a chance, or if you want to listen to Red Nation Hoops and laugh at the idea that a one superstar team with James Harden is going to beat a four superstar team, then you can listen to those. They're both on our network. And I mean, we're at 25 out of 30 teams. We're excited to be bringing on Andy Larson and Zach Harper to represent the Utah Jazz. I think we're going to have a cool Sixers announcement soon. You know, the thing I like about the network is that I all I do is listen to podcasts. Like I said, I do this full time. I can vouch for every show on the network. They're all good. It's your one-stop place for basketball podcasts, and they're all good. I can say that in true confidence, including the Warriors. Thanks for having me on, guys. And thanks for the happy birthday, Bram.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much for thinking of us. Thank you for lending us some of your time. Thanks for all the takes, and hopefully we can do this a few times, man. I really enjoyed it. Hopefully you did too. Let's do it again in the future.
Absolutely. Sweet. Should I define syntax?
I've actually been looking it up since since you said it. So no need. I haven't been able to find it, but I will. I will. And the next time we see each other, I'll use it in a sentence really effectively.
Awesome. Well, good. And you can talk about positional defense too.
Boom. Exactly right. Great place to end. Thanks so much, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely.
quick public service announcement. Generally speaking, we try to keep this, and PG is the wrong term, but as PG as possible. We try to bleep all F-bombs or any kind of swearing to make sure that we don't offend anybody. This next segment, that proved a little bit impossible. There may have been a lot of curse words flying around.
And I tried. I really tried to get, you'll hear that I tried to get people to stop cursing, and they did not heed my warning, so... You know, be aware of that.
You can hear the anger in his voice. He's 100% right about that. So this is a long way of saying, if you are one of our fans who a little sensitive when it comes to four-letter bombs, then this next segment, you may want to go ahead and fast forward through. We won't judge you. We appreciate listening. With that in tow, hopefully you guys enjoy. Okay, I got a brief admission I got to make to you, Scott. You probably know it. Maybe some of the audience doesn't, but I have very few ethics. That's probably not a surprise. One of the obvious examples of that is that I tend to try to use this show to become friends with some of the guests. You know, like if I think that they're important or famous or popular, I'll wait, like, I don't know, a few hours, and I'll shoot them a text, hope to God they text me back, and then when they do, I gush all over them.
And that's why you have crazy back sweat at the end of every...
Oh, my God. My sweat is not limited to my back. Full, my entire body is fucking sweaty. But in this instance, the story I want to tell you is I've certainly done that with a couple of guests. One, Mike McGinnis. You may remember Mike came on a while back, actor, producer in Hollywood, known mostly for his television projects, and then also Simon Dirt Nasty Rex. As he told us, former MTV video DJ, current actor, bunch of projects, scary movie series. Right now he's on a Comedy Central show called Typical Rick. Anyways, when they were on, I pursued a friendship with them. And then recently, we've had some texts following the Are You Smarter stuff, right? So Simon reaches out and says, quote, I can do the Warriors challenge. I got every question right, minus the number 6 draft pick one. That was the Epe Udo thing, yeah?
Can you slow down? Because I think you're getting nervous just even going back over these
I'm
texts.
Nervous about your fucking crazy ass because we went so long early on. I know you're going to start doing the we have to hurry up deal, and I don't feel like dealing with that, man. Anyways, to pick up the narrative, Mike got that text and wrote back, quote, 3 words as to why Simon has no shot at this. Alameda. My BART station may be Rock Ridge, but I was born and raised in Oakland. The Park Street Bridge is closed on this one, and your boy Dirt Nasty ain't gonna show. Simon, not to be outdone, answers back, quote, but I lived closer to Oracle, under 1 mile. You went to a fancy-ass private school you went to the fancy private Oakland school in the hills. And Mike answers, quote, if I went to Oakland Tech, my public school district, I may not be around today to do this podcast. No offense if you're listening, Ricky Henderson. Here's why I'm bringing it up. We just so happen to have both Mike and Simon on the line. Gentlemen, you guys out there?
And Ricky Henderson.
And Ricky Henderson. Did you guys think that Scott trying to give me shit for talking so fast was inappropriate? Like, as a co-host, and you guys are in entertainment, shouldn't he just be kind of supporting me?
No, it's part of the deal. I like your guys' banter. It's like me and Mike are going to have friendly jabs. It's all part of the deal.
I'm the producer, too.
I mean, you listen to, like, Howard Stern, you know what I mean? Like, Robin Quivers just laughs and enjoys. I got to hear you talking about me speaking too fast. Mike, I know you have my back on this. Come on, man. That was inappropriate, right?
Well, I think he was trying to move it along, which is something that obviously I need deeply. But, yeah, I mean, he fucking with you is part of the show. Okay. Without, if it's just one guy going ham, it's not going to be the same.
You know, I was going to say I was rooting for you, but now I'm not sure since you took the same shot at Simon. I am going in the wrong direction, gentlemen. Simon, why don't you start us off? So we've brought you guys on today to settle this feud. We've got an Are You Smarter Than a Bandwagon Fan segment all lined up. We got the questions ready to go. We're naturally going to do that tonight. But before we get there, do you think you can beat Mike? And if so, why?
Well, let's just go backwards a little bit and say me and Mike as a tandem are a very powerful Warriors, old school fan base duo that's been putting in a lot of work and suffered through a lot of years. So this is more two guys who have earned this recent Warriors success over the last 20 years. But now it's going to just be a friendly competition between the two of us. But we're both very, very diehard Warriors fans. It's actually our bonding. I think that was like our real bonding thing because we're both in LA and we hate the LA teams. So,
Mike, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I just want us in a dream situation is we both tie with at least 8 out of 10 and I'll be happy. I just don't want to lose street cred among Oakland contingent. So as long, because I literally blacked out a lot of Warriors years. Like, I put in the work and I watch the teams, but if we start what year, I mean, the suck just overlapped itself so many times. I don't know what of those shitty years was what, so I'm hoping we don't go too obscure on these questions, but let's see what you got.
You don't spend a bunch of time rewatching tape of the Gohan era? You don't just, like, immersing yourself in that super depressing, like, 20-year stretch?
I literally just do my best to dig it deep down so below my subconscious that I remember references and I know I was there, but I do my best to forget all details.
I have a feeling there's going to be a PJ Carlissimo Latrell Sprewell reference. I'm just waiting for that one.
I am right now scratching that.
I'm ready for
off.
That.
what you should see is on my notes, it says kind of cryptically, try to make them fight. I don't know if I've ever come up shorter on that. You guys are like best friends. It's like we're like tiptoeing through the tulips here together.
Well, me and Simon have a good dynamic because he's Jewish and I'm not. So he stresses like Steph will miss one shot and Simon will text me a half serious season's over. And I'm the one who, if Steph got shot, I'd spin it somehow positively. So we have a good rapport as the naysayer and the winner, and it always balances out.
It's a good relationship. It's a good relationship. And also to go back a little bit, also I want to say something. I remember a couple years ago I was on the podcast, and you guys said you wouldn't trade Steph Curry for LeBron James, and I said no, and you guys thought I was crazy.
That's true.
Then we won the finals, and I said, see, in my mind, I said to you guys, see, I was right. And then last year happened, and I was like, oh, maybe they're right. And now here we are right in the middle, and it's, LeBron is the best, I guess, but it's interesting. We got to get into some of that.
I think you're right. Do it right now. I forgot that you said that. Now that you've reminded me, you're absolutely right. It pains me to phrase it this way, but I was wrong then. If they came right now and I was Bob Myers and they offered us LeBron for Steph based mostly on age, I wouldn't do it. I'd keep Steph.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to be that guy and just be the conspiracy theorist like the league is trying to fuck us. But when we were up 3-1 last year, there definitely was a lot of things that didn't curry our favor. No pun intended.
Oh, no, that pun was intended, you bastard. There's no doubt that pun was intended.
That was improv. That was all improv. I'm quick like that. Dude, that up 3-1 fucked us. You know what I mean? So, I can't help but think that there's a big corporate agenda on a lot of things, especially the NBA. They're making a lot of money, and they'll stretch it out. So we got fucked.
Draymond suspension was definitely.
Yeah, that's what fucked. Yeah, the Draymond Green suspension fucked us. But it was Shakespearean. It was Shakespearean. It was like the boy that cried wolf. There were so many elements to it that are setting up this rivalry. It is a rivalry. I don't care what LeBron says. We hate them. I hate LeBron James for that flop he did in the last game. Yes. I hate LeBron James for that flop he did in the last game. I hate LeBron James.
I'm with you. I hate his face.
He did in the last game.
He is a little bitch.
I love the passion.
I love the passion.
But what I don't love is all the curse words, because I'm going to have to bleep this out. So
I was just about to say, Scott's lying to you. This fool does not love the passion at all. He's sweating more than I am now.
He pretended he was knocked out unconscious. Come on, dude. That's a bitch move.
That was such a bitch move. It was hilarious, though.
Dude. We were there in person.
Here's the funny thing. Yeah, we were there, but here's the point I'll make. Legitimate, I wouldn't trade Steph for LeBron. Let me preface it with that. But LeBron is one of the two greatest players, and you can make the argument he might pass Mike all time, right?
The reason
I'll never vote for him over Mike is as much of an asshole as Mike was, he wasn't a bitch. And you can't be the arguable greatest of all time and be a bitch.
There's no question. Here, let me give you guys a quote recently, all right? This is from LeBron over the last couple weeks. Quote, it's been a shitty 2017 so far. We're not better than last year from a personnel standpoint. We're a top-heavy team. I just hope that we're not satisfied as an organization. I just hope we're not satisfied. How hard is it to do that shit? I just hope we're not satisfied. It's like when you don't have bodies, it's tough. The fucking grind of the regular season. We're a top-heavy team. We're a top-heavy team. We're top-heavy as shit. And then
how many curse words are we going to do here? This is going to get ridiculous.
And then ultimately comes out and says that they need a playmaker. Jordan was surrounded by losers for a huge component of his career. Maybe it was a lack of social media, but maybe it was a different era. But we didn't hear him complain like that. We didn't hear him have any of the mental weakness that LeBron brings to the table.
Yeah, he won a ring without
G-code.
A legit
You don't
center.
Do that.
I mean, dude, yeah, G-code. The G-code, it's unspoken. Look, Michael pretty much did it without a legit center. I mean, you know, and back in that era too, when they were playing, it was a different game. It's crazy. You know, I can't compare him to Michael Jordan. It's a different thing to me. He's physically a beast, but I can't compare them. It's fuck, man. It's fucked up that they have to be in the same sentence.
Can you guys patch Bill Cartwright in to countersign him?
I was going to go get Bill Wellington. But
actually, we have a surprise guest. It's Judd Bushler on the line right now. Before we jump into the game, give us your guys' predictions. Who wins the title? Who's the championship matchup? Who ultimately wins it?
Us versus Cleveland. Us in five games.
Simon?
I'm going to agree with Mike. It's us against Cleveland because they just have a cakewalk, you know, minus Toronto in the East. You know, we got a much harder road to get there. It's going to be us in six. Let's say 4-2 just because the league will fuck us again.
Yep, I'm with you as well. And I'm sorry for the screw up there, but I'm literally watching Scott melt with every F-bomb that we drop. So it happens, you know, we may have to put an explicit warning up front and then just let these things fly. You know, if you're listening to it and it's offending you, our apologies. And also you may be listening to the wrong podcast. I'm sure there's a Sesame Street one out there for you both. Last prediction before we do the actual game. One of the things we fought about on this show is who's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. I think Draymond, others think otherwise. Kawhi is one of the names thrown out. What do you guys think? Who walks away?
Go ahead, Mike.
Draymond, and I'll explain why. We have no rim protection compared to last year. I mean, we do with KD and other different aspects. But Draymond's going to get it because our defense has improved because he stepped it up to such another level. Although we don't have Bogut and we don't have a center, et cetera. So I think he's really showing his versatility. And the reason he gets it is because he can guard 1 through 5.
Yeah.
And although Kawhi probably could guard 5s, he doesn't. So for range, and also they do factor in overall team defense, but also what you can do on the offensive end. If you can literally only defend, in the back of their mind, they're counting that vote. So I think Dre gets it.
Nicely said.
I couldn't agree. I mean, he said it pretty damn perfectly. I mean, I think another element's going to be who wins MVP. That's going to be a factor too, you know, because I'm sure he'd be in the mix for that if he went. He's probably not going to get it. It's going to be, you know, Harden might even get it. I don't know, but
I think Harden does get it, and they were laying 10-1 on it before the year. I should have bet it.
Yeah, I refuse to give Harden any kind of credit. You guys are probably right, but that's a rabbit hole I refuse to jump down. I tell you what, gentlemen, let's find out who's going to win this contest, which is moderately fought out. I mean, it turns out you guys are better teammates than you are competitors, but we still want to see this superpower combo get broken up. So we've got a competition for you. I'm sure you guys know the setup, but just in case you don't, you guys will get an opportunity to answer as many Warriors questions consecutively in a row as you possibly can. A couple of caveats. One, you only have 30 seconds to answer each question. Scotty will be watching you guys pretty closely. And two, if you get a question right, the next question is going to go back a year, which is why it's Are You Smarter Than a Bandwagon Fan? We'll make our way back.
When I listened to it, they both had 5 questions. Was that just a coincidence? I thought it was, if I remember correctly, there was 10 questions, and in my mind, I got 9 of them right.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I was wrong.
No, you know what you probably did is there was probably 5 on each side, and one of them screwed up on the 9th question, so you probably got both people right. How do you like that bailout, man? I got your back.
Thank you.
Here is where Scott and I generally venture a guess as to who's going to win. I was a little bit on the fence until Mike reminded me this. Simon's the Jew. So, Simon, you've got my vote 100% as a Jewish man myself. I'm with you.
Mike is smarter than me, though. Mike's smarter than me. So
don't talk me out of my pig.
I smoked a lot more weed, too, in the past 20 years of this pain. So I'm just already saying that's my cop-out in case I lose.
You still have my vote. Scotty, what do you think?
Well, I got a big question for Mike because last time he was on the podcast, he went through this story about this Warriors jacket he has. Do you have the Warriors jacket on? And if you do, I'm going to vote for you because that thing is a throwback classic.
Mike?
Sharunas is a part of me anytime any Warriors thing happens. So the answer is yes.
All right, let's go.
Please tell me the name of the jacket, Sharunas. You've just come up with a name for it.
It says Marshallonis on the back, so I have to say Sharunas, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I hope how great to spell Marshallonis is one of the questions.
There is no spelling. Don't you worry about that. Simon, first question goes to you, and it's an easy one. Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
All right. Then Mike,
you got that wrong.
Yeah, wrong. Your turn is over. Mike, you're going to go up first. Any parting words, Simon? I'm sorry. That's exactly right. Any parting words from Mike? We're not going to hear from
you. I thought Simon got it wrong.
Yeah. Wait. Oh, I don't go first? Okay, whatever.
Simon's going first. Mike, before we stop hearing from you, any parting shots? Any, you want to rattle his cage a little bit, or you content with what you said?
Listen, we've said it many times. He's Jewish. His cage is already rattled. I'll just let nature take care of himself.
All right.
Hey, I meditated today, man. I'm chilling.
That's exactly right. All right. Simon, you're up front. We are going to start with a question from this year. And here we go. Name the starting five.
Oh, okay. That's Steph Curry. That is Klay Thompson. That is Kevin Durant. That is Zaza. And that is Draymond Green.
I would be lying to you if I said I wasn't a little bit nervous, man. We made it through, though. I feel like you're definitely gaining a little bit of steam. I won't even go the final answer. That's exactly right. We move back a year, 2015-2016. This is our championship loss last year. At the beginning of last year, when Coach Kerr was not available due to illness, who was the head coach of the team?
Oh, what's his name? The son, the Laker guy, with the teeth. What the fuck's his name? Fuck. Dude, God, I can't remember his fucking name because I'm old school. Jesus, what's his name with the teeth?
Oh, that's
the
right.
Big head?
He's coaching in your city right now.
Huh? He is the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
I know, dude, I didn't expect this. Jesus, what's his fucking name?
5 seconds.
How many seconds do I have?
You have five.
Jesus Christ. His name's fucking...
It rhymes with God, Book Calton.
Who?
His father is...
Do I get a steal?
I'll give you one hint at the interest of keeping this up. His father's name is Bill.
Oh, Bill Russell. Jack Russell, the dog.
Unfortunately, Matt, is that your final answer?
I mean, I don't, dude. I'm fucked.
I'll give you a backup question to keep you in the game. How many wins?
I'm eliminated. It's the worst. Like,
if you miss this one, but we're desperately bending the rules to keep you in. So okay, here's another backup. Weird, here you go. How many wins did they have last year?
Oh, 73-9, I believe.
There you go. Final answer.
Yeah, 73-9.
Boom. Hey, see, maybe we'll just cut out that first portion. I'm going to keep him going.
No, you got to leave that in.
No, well, no.
What's his name again? Jack Russell?
Luke Walton, man. Bill Walton.
Luke Walton. Dude,
who is Jack Russell? What are you talking about, Jack Russell?
Am I muted or can you guys hear me?
We can hear you. We got you.
We talk about how Simon just nailed the year total and said it added up to 84 instead of 82 after saying 73-9?
we shouldn't talk about that.
Does that added information technically bow him out there?
What are you taking shots at him, Mike? He messed up the second question. Leave the man be. I'm giving it to him, and we're going to move back a year. Simon, in 2014-2015, what player set the NBA record for points in a quarter by scoring 37 against the Kings in the third?
Klay Thompson?
Final answer?
Yeah.
Right. Bam. See, you just need a little encouragement, man. Let's move back another one.
Once you leave the Warriors coaching staff, you're dead to me. I don't remember you. You know, it's over. So let's go.
This is interesting because here's our next question. 2013-2014, who was the head coach? He currently works for the ESPN as an analyst.
Oh, what's his name?
Jack Russell.
Mark Jackson.
Mark Jackson, factually correct. Oh, we may have caught a little wind here. 2012, 2013, who did the Warriors draft in the second round?
Oh, second round?
Uh-huh.
Shit. Festus Ezeli. Draymond Green. Draymond Green, second round. He was a steal. Draymond Green, final answer.
One of those is your final answer? Festus or Draymond?
Draymond Green.
Correct. We move back. 2011, 2012, the Warriors traded a player nicknamed Stack Jack and Captain Jack to the Spurs in return for Richard Jefferson and TJ Ford. What was that player's name?
Oh, what's his name? Jackson, who ran in the crowd and beat up everyone.
I can't help you with this one.
Last name's... but that's his last... Did I need his full name?
You need the full name.
Not going to go Google. God darn it. It's the dude Jackson, not my...
10 seconds.
Fuck.
You got this, Simon? Come on, buddy.
Mark Jackson. No.
2, 3, 2...
All right, we need your final answer.
Mark Jackson. I don't know his first name, dude. And I met him.
And you live to tell the tale. Steven Jackson is who we were looking for.
Jackson's, man. It's like the Jackson 5.
There's Jackson's all over the place. All right, so you got, doesn't mean you lost. It means that you got to 2011-2012, which is now the benchmark for you, Mike. So we're not going to hear from you for a couple minutes here, Simon. Anything you want, any way you want to rattle Mike, anything you want to say, now's your chance to do it.
Dude, whatever. I just, my brain is a broken computer, but my heart is there in the right place and I care.
There's no question. And you had all of the background information, right? What we may have found is that you're not so good with names is what it is, but hey, you still have a chance. You still have a chance to win this. So, Mike, we go to you.
I even know your name, dude.
My name is Mark Jackson. No, I mean Jack Russell. Mike, we're going to go to you, and we're going to start at the 2016-2017 season. You ready to go?
Let's do it.
Give me two players who come off the bench.
Right now?
Uh-huh.
Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston, final answer.
Factually correct.
Feeling real good about this.
He was hella confident too. I wish I had some super hard questions. 2015-2016. True or false? Steph won the MVP and came one vote away from being the very first unanimous MVP.
False. He was unanimous. Next.
And he's cocky and angry now. Settle down, Mike. Everybody.
That's what I was trying to do. We have to be villainized. Everyone thinks I'm basically fighting a kid in a wheelchair, so I have to get sick at least.
Have
you not seen the WWF?
Mission accomplished. We go to 2014-2015. What city did the Warriors win the title in?
Ooh, that's a good question. That happened in Cleveland.
Hold on.
Fuck. Oh no! Fuck.
The villain. He's on the ropes.
Wait, are we talking about the two? Okay. Oh no!
When they won,
how much time is left? Simon can still win.
Got 10 seconds here. 10 seconds.
I'm gonna go with my gut and say Cleveland. Cleveland, final answer.
Final answer. The answer is right. She pulled that out. It would be Cleveland's locker room that smelled like champagne. We move back a year, 2013-2014. What Warriors?
Guys, you got me shook. I'm chiming in here.
That's what I'm hoping.
As soon as I got cocky, I fucking lost my mojo.
Well, there's no question. Everybody's rooting against you now, which I really enjoy. 2013-2014. What Warriors All Star led the team in scoring, assists, and steals?
13-14. You said points, assists, and steals.
I did. Correct. Final answer.
Yeah.
And that's right. We move to 2012-2013. I'm going to tell you, Mike, this might be the one that knocks you out. We'll find out, but here we go.
Don't try to shake my boy just because your guy was good.
Quick question. Am I where Simon was, or did Simon get this one right?
Simon got this one right. He got the next one wrong.
Got it.
With that in mind, this Warrior was known for huge bench celebrations, especially holding three fingers in the air in an exaggerated fashion.
Yeah.
Oh, boom. Wow. Right back to the cockiness. So should you get this one right, Mike, this competition is over. Who was the main player the Warriors traded to the Bucks to get Andrew Bogut? And if I...
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
That would be Monte Ellis.
Yeah, and I was going to say, hint. This individual was hurt in a moped accident. It doesn't sound like you need the hint. Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
Factually correct. That is exactly right. What do you think, man? Do you want to try a couple other ones, or do you want to end it with your big victory? All right, let's see how far you go. 2010-2011. The Warriors had both Darrell Wright and Steph Curry. Which one of them ended the season with the most three-point shots made?
Ooh, that's a good question. What year was this?
2010, 2011.
I hear the keyboard typing.
No, I'm not typing. I'm free rolling. I already won. Can I ask if Keith Smart was the coach then?
You can, but I won't be able to answer.
Okay. You know, I'm going to go. He was so underutilized. I'm going to go Darrell Wright.
Correct. He's on fire, ladies and gentlemen. 2009, 2010. What player?
Why else would you ask that question? Of course.
Well, you know what? Hey, honestly, for future ones, though, that fucks you up. Like, ask a random one that's totally not right. Like, did Kalina Azubuki and Steph Curry score, you know, like whatever, something obscure? It makes you think it's the other guy.
What I loved about that is the obvious anger in Simon's voice. You know, like that he obviously thought that question was so much easier than the one you had to face. 2009, 2010. What player said this during media day after the Warriors picked Steph Curry in the draft? Quote, can you see yourself playing with Curry in the backcourt? Answer, I can't answer that. Us together? No. Question, why not? Answer, can't. We just can't. Too small? Too similar? Just can't. The Warriors say you can. They say we can, yeah. But if they say it, we can't. You wouldn't want to give it a shot? I just want to win. We're not going to win that way. Who said that about Steph right after he got drafted?
It would be the same guy that also said for 15 minutes in every interview, Monte Ellis.
Exactly right. Yeah. 2008, 2009, what was the name of the towel-waving French guy on the bench?
Ooh. Towel-waving French guy.
Came out of Gonzaga.
I think this is where you lose me. He came what?
Out of Gonzaga. When I say the name, it will definitely remind you. I think you know this. Dig deep.
Oh, is it Roni Turioff?
It is Roni Turioff, 2007, 2008. Who was the GM?
Can I throw in one caveat here?
Sure.
It was Larry Riley, but let me throw in one caveat here. When I'm picturing a black guy with cornrows and you say a French guy, it upends my whole world. I just want to point that out.
I knew that definitely threw you off. You were thinking white guy.
I was like, French guy? I'm like picturing some dude with a little mustache and a baguette. I'm like,
I didn't know we were going to get racist on this show, but continue, Mike.
Yeah, just go ahead and fire off.
Simon was racist long before this.
And kind of anti-French. It also really pleases me to say this, only because of how derisive you were with the question, how positive you were that you were right. Larry Riley is in fact wrong, big man. Your run ins here, but I'll give you a hint as to who it was. This GM used to play for the Warriors and wore number 17.
Chris Mullin. Oh, sorry.
Oh, it would have been Chris Mullin. Yeah, I got my time schedule gone. You didn't say final answer though, so I'm gonna go Chris Mullin.
Oh, factually correct. That's exactly right. No, I'm
loophole. Let's keep going as a team. Let's both break the rules. Let's both be able to answer.
So I'm okay with that. Scott, you want to do it? All right, then we will count that. And we're testing. They're more powerful as a team together, right? So we go to 2006, 2007. In that season, the Warriors upset the number one seed, Dallas Mavericks, in the first round. What was the slogan?
Yeah. What
was the slogan?
We believe.
Exactly right. 2005, 2006. Which Warrior led the team?
Can I say one thing? That was my boys in Alameda, the guy who created that, right across the street from my high school. He owned like a pho restaurant, and that was from Alameda, the guy who created that whole campaign.
What are you talking about?
So anyway, a little close to home.
How did he do that?
Campaign, yeah. But I don't know. He just made some shirts, and it blew up, and he had this little pho restaurant in Alameda across the street from my high school.
You see my boy Simon rehabbing his Warrior reputation? This guy's got knowledge, man. Anybody out there who didn't know it, suck on that. 2005, 2006, which Warrior, who also won the dunk contest twice over his career, led the team in points?
Jason Richardson. Let's move on.
Wow. Mike, you agree?
I agree.
Factually correct. Exactly right. 2004, 2005, the Warriors had a point guard whose first name was Speedy. What was his last name?
2004, 5?
Speedy.
S-P-E-E-D-Y.
Oh, Speedy. Speedy. Oh, Speedy Claxton.
Final answer?
Yeah, Speedy Claxton. Yeah.
Boom. Right. Yeah. Exactly right.
I think we're getting to the time period that's really in their wheelhouse.
I think so, too. I think we're also going to get beyond the questions
like, who
we
the
have
fuck
prepared.
I'm like, who's Speedy?
We'll find out. 2003.
Is he French, too?
2004. If he is, he shouldn't have cornrows. Who was the coach in 2003, 2004? I'll give you a hint. His first name was Eric.
Oh, Musselman.
Man, these guys are on fire, Scott. I'm going to ask you another one from that same year. What player did the Warriors draft out of France?
Ooh, Michael Petrus.
Boom, exactly.
Ooh,
right.
Good one. I had no idea.
Oh, we're moving here.
Restoring himself.
2002, 2003, the Warriors had the number 3 pick in the draft. Who did they take out of Duke University?
Mike Dunleavy, the worst Warrior in history. Yep. I hate him.
This feels like
I actually
probably
like Dunleavy, but I still agree.
I don't like him, dude. I hate him. He's a bum.
This feels like probably what Dwight Howard is at when free throw practice, like during just practice, he's like making everyone. And then when the game was going, you guys were like missing right and left here. But now you guys are just on fire.
He's 100%
right. This is our era.
He's trying to distract you guys from the fact that he loves Mike Dunleavy. I'm with you, Simon. Mike D is the biggest loser who's ever
donned.
I wanted
to get him. When they traded them and they looked like Atlanta was going to
No,
them,
you
I
didn't.
Back.
No, you did not, Mike. That is a factually incorrect
statement. As like our 10th player?
I don't believe you.
I would rather Jack Russell coach the team.
Well, who doesn't want Jack, man? That guy is in heavy demand. You guys are still going, though. Let's not slow us down. 2001, 2002, name two of the three draft picks.
Ooh, oh, shit. We're going to need some hints here, guys. 01, 02?
01, 02, and there's three starters that they drafted.
There was a Murphy. I'm remembering Murphy. There was a they got drafted that year.
Got drafted, and I'll tell you what. Here's another hint. Murphy's right.
Okay.
Was Gilbert Arenas that year? No, I think he's older than that.
Was he?
5 seconds.
No, I don't think he could.
Was it?
He didn't get drafted that year.
All right, gentlemen. We need that final answer.
Two.
Go Arenas.
So your final answer is on what's the first name on Murphy?
Troy Murphy.
That is accurate. Yes. Good one.
Factually correct. Troy Murphy, Gilbert Arenas, and Jason Richardson would be the answer to that.
No way that we didn't get J. Rich. That's amazing.
It doesn't matter. Wow. You guys got it right. All right. You get this one. I'll be very impressed. 2000, 2001. Who was the Warriors' leading scorer?
Before him.
Latrell Sprewell? Was he still on the team? Was Sprewell on the team? Did he choke PJ?
Yeah, these are tough. Because I don't. Here's the thing. When you don't go to the playoffs for 20 years, you don't know what year is what year.
It's just one long nightmare.
Arenas. Yeah. Before Arenas. Who
was it Latrell? Sprewell was in New York by then. I think Sprewell was in New York at that point. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
10 seconds.
Any hints?
Dude, that was a dark time.
No hints. You guys are doing too well. You don't need
French?
My hints.
Was he French?
I don't think so. I didn't hate him, so no.
All right, three.
Is it like Joe Smith or someone random? Was he still around then? I don't even
when
know.
When I say no, it, you're going to feel like you got it. When I say it, it's going to anger you that you didn't
what
get
year
it.
What year are we?
2000, 2001. We need the guess. Time's up.
What's the question?
Okay, you said it wasn't Joe Smith?
It was not Joe Smith.
Okay, I'm going to go Joe Smith.
All right, final answer, Joe Smith. Simon, you got to save him.
Was Latrell Sprewell? I don't know. Has he gone by then?
The answer is...
Let's say Sprewell because it's not Joe Smith.
All right.
Sprewell.
Wrong, unfortunately enough. Antoine Jameson, gentlemen. Antoine Jameson. It seems like
he had 50 back-to-back.
He had two 50-point games. That's right.
But I will tell you what, collectively...
But now he doesn't have $250.
That's 1,000% right, too. You guys may or may not know that our standing champion in Are You Smarter Than a Bandwagon Fan is a guy named Jericho Faustino. Jericho's furthest he went was 2003, 2004. So collectively as a team, you guys actually stretched beyond him. I'm gonna step out and make you guys an offer. As a team, would you like to challenge Jericho for the top spot?
Yeah, I just want to see if it's a real person because it sounds like such a fabricated name.
Yeah, I don't think it's a real name either, but I will tell you that he is.
Our friend Jericho Montalban.
That's actually his middle name, and what he likes to do is freestyle occasionally. So, Simon, you might be able to match him up. But I tell you what, if you guys are willing, because I know that you have tons of Warrior stories we didn't get to hear, we'd love to have you back on, have you as a primary guest, get the stories out, and then have you match up collectively as a team against
love it.
Jericho Montalban. You guys in?
Bring it on,
Jericho. Yeah, tell Juggalo he's going down.
I sure will. Gentlemen, thank you so much for giving us some of your time tonight. It's awesome talking to you guys again.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
We love the podcast. Thanks for having us. Good job, Simon. Good comeback.
All right, gentlemen. Huge fun, you guys. True every week. Certainly true this week. Also, I think we broke a record. Is this the longest podcast that has ever been recorded?
This is, I don't know what type of agenda you're planning, but this shall never happen again because my life editing this is going to be a disaster.
Well, for the 8 people who are still listening, thank you so much for making it all the way to the finish line. Nicely played. If you want to reach out to us and tell us there's too many F-bombs or the show is too long or why the hell would you make us listen to this, we can be reached at Warriors Huddle as our Twitter account and warriorshuddle@gmail.com. We are on a bunch of websites, the most prominent of which now is almightyballer.com. You can also find us on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. We still are on warriorsworld.net, who we continually love, and on vSporto. So even if you've already downloaded this, do us a favor. Get out there, open up 3 internet windows, and just press play on all 3. Don't even have to listen. Just give us the number. We'd really appreciate
that. Just turn down the volume for that second half of the show. So if you're at work, in particular.
Immediately. Turn it down immediately. With all that understood, go Warriors, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
Good, good.